All right. Well, the next area I want to go into deals with hospital ethics. And here again, this subject is ministerial ethics. And so, ministers, that's one thing that you have to do. It comes with the territory, so to speak, that you have to visit people, whether it's a hospital, whether it's a nursing home, or different places of this. And I don't say that in a begrudging manner. I just say that's the thing that's done, okay? So there has to be ethics established on the inside of you before you go in. And I have seen some real violations in the hospital. And I know when this hospital here in Thomasville first started its associate chaplaincy program, I was asked to come into that, and I did. And you go through a certain amount of training and exposed to some things, and then they tell you this, that, and the other. It's amazing still how you have the violations in all this. Number one, the patient is actually there, supposed to be there, to get care, to get well, and to get out. Okay? The staff that works there, actually, it's a job, and they have duties and responsibilities that they are to fulfill to make sure that patient gets the care they need. Okay? That's how it's supposed to work. All right? And so as you go in as a visitor, especially as a minister, you don't want to get in the way of that process. You understand? That's their territory. That's their job. So you work around that. And if they need to work with the patient, then you wait till they get through working with the patient. You with me? So there's just some things that we need to know here. And then you have to constantly be aware of your authority and your responsibility. When you walk in there, you're to submit to authorities. You submit to the authority of the staff, and you submit to the authority of the patient. Okay? And there are some situations that I know Pat's worked for quite a while as associate chaplain. Dale Height has, and Howard has, and they can tell you some situations that go on, and things that you choose not to be offended, and you choose to respect protocol. Otherwise, you don't need to be there. And if you do not have specific instructions from God, then you should never make a hospital your mission field. Now, we had a problem here. That ministers going from room to room, leaving tracts, talking to patients they don't even know. I can appreciate the zeal of wanting to get people born again. But I also know that if the Spirit of God is not dealing with that person, you're not going to get that person born again. And there's wisdom in all that. If God didn't send you there, then take that in consideration and don't invade someone's privacy. Okay? Patients are entitled to certain rights and privileges. And so those rights and privileges must be respected. I've actually been told to go to a patient's room as associate chaplain, to go to a patient's room to pray for them. Now, I'm going to approach that with caution. I'm not going to go in like a bull moose in a china shop or whatever. I just simply go in and I introduce myself and I ask the patient if there's something anything they need, and would you like for me to pray with you? And the guy said no. I said, okay, I'm not going to take offense to that. Okay, I was misinformed. And I was shocked, but I was misinformed. Okay? And so what do you do with that? You have to be cordial to the person. Well, if there's anything you need, just let the staff know. They know how to get in touch with me. If I can help you, just tell one of them and let them call me. And then walk out and be happy. Don't get resentful. And don't doom him to hell and all that type of stuff, you understand. Just respect their right. You do not have the right to impose prayer or healing upon patients. Jesus didn't. Jesus didn't impose prayer and healing on anyone, did he? Those who came to him, he healed. Those who requested of him, he honored their request, but he didn't just go out soliciting. You're quiet. Okay. Always get permission from a person before you minister to them. I even do that in a church setting or whatever. You know, may I? I'm not just going to lay hands on the person. May I? And if you say no, I'm going to love you. You understand? And if you say no, it'd be foolish for me to anyway, because there's nothing going to happen. Because you don't want to receive, so then we're going to honor that. Due to injuries or illnesses, patients are often physically exposed, so don't embarrass them by intruding and showing respect. Knock on the door, get permission to go in, give them time to, if they need to cover up. And here again, a lot of this is just common sense. You understand? But it's not always used. And it's like I said earlier, room-to-room witnessing is a violation of hospital policy, number one. And you have to avoid it unless God directs you otherwise. If God tells you to go room-to-room, knock yourself out. But if he doesn't, you're in violation of the policy. This hospital has a policy that you can't do that. So, I'm not mad at the hospital. We're going to honor the policy, okay? You should be courteous and respectful to receptionists, nurses, doctors, patients, family members, everybody. Treat them with respect. You know, we're to set the example, not them. So if they're disrespectful to you, that doesn't give you the right to counter that. You still treat them with respect. You're still nice to them. The objective of the hospital should be to give its patients the best possible care, so don't interfere with that. I believe in prayer, but I'm not going to interfere. Now, let me just go here for a minute. That person is in the hospital getting treatment because that's where their faith is. I want you to think about this. For whatever reason, their faith is in, this is going to do me some good. Okay? Get in agreement with their faith. Well, my dad had a heart attack and was in intensive care for 16 days. Anyway, when I went in, I got there many hours later because I was out of town. And I didn't have a cell phone. Didn't have cell phones back then, I don't think. But anyway, Mom was about hysterical because they told her that he couldn't live. And so they already had the family over in a private room, and so I talked to her, and at first I just had to get her settled down a little bit, and then I said, what can you believe? Mom's a nurse, you understand. mom believed in nursing. Okay? She said, well, I can believe that he'll respond to the medication and the medical treatment they give him. I said, all right, that's how we're going to pray. Okay? And that's exactly how I prayed. That he would respond favorably to the medical treatment and the medication that they gave him. You know what? He came off of that respirator, he came out of the hospital, and he went back home. Okay? And he lived a while after that, but then he told Mom, I don't want to live anymore. My dad was what most people would call a workaholic. Worked like 80 hours a week. And then all of a sudden, he can't work. So he felt like he was a menace to society. I can't put anything in, so I don't want to live. And my dad loved God. There's no question about that. There's absolutely no question about that. And a man who lived it. I mean, he lived it before us. So we were without excuse, okay? I mean, Mom was the preacher. But I'll promise you one thing, Daddy was an example that you could follow. And if you followed him, you're going to do what's right. Okay? So it had nothing to do with that. He just felt like he'd finished his course. And so, later on, he did that. But I said all that to say, don't try to get over here in the area that you don't have faith for or the family's not agreeing with you in. What's the patient believing? Unless the gift of faith comes on you, or a gift of healing or miracles to where you can go in and do it, then you'd better use some wisdom and minister in a way you can minister. I violated God one time in praying for somebody. He told me not to. The Spirit of God told me not to pray for that lady. But I let the family pressure get to me. The family wanted me to pray for her healing. And God told me she was going to die. And guess who was right? So guess what I did? I just brought a reproach against God. Because this family was getting you into the healing thing, so they didn't see it work. Now, what's interesting about that, a few months prior to that, maybe a year prior to that, I prayed for that same lady and she was healed. But see, God expects us to grow and we have to walk some things out. And there's a lot I don't know. But I did know this, that was a valuable, hard lesson for me. Because it had residual damage. And that I didn't obey God. I didn't listen to God. So now I'm very cautious in how we pray or if we pray. And a lot of times I don't pray. I don't have direction. So what am I going to do? Just say some little formal prayer that's not going to get past my nose? No, you have to hear the Spirit of God and go with the Spirit of God. Okay? And so, when you're dealing with people, understand they're there for a reason. And then, a lot of times, I'll just ask the person, how can I believe with you? You tell me where your faith is, and let me get in agreement with where you are. And then I look for results on that. But don't deceive you, me, or anybody else in just a confession. A lot of people want to say the right thing because you're the preacher. Tell me the truth. I like what Jerry says, my good friend Jerry O'Dell. If your faith's not working, try honesty. Just be honest with God. And let's get results. I've had God to heal me supernaturally, and I've had God to heal me through medicine. God told Isaiah when Hezekiah to set his house in order, he's going to die. Hezekiah prayed, and God said, go back and tell him I'm going to give him 15 years. But then he said, lay a lump of figs on the boil. You know what that is? That is medication on the sore or the wound. So how was he healed? So I'm not going to bash all that other. Okay? I'm just saying, you have to honor a person where they are and join your faith with them. What can you believe? Then let's go with what you can believe. But a lot of people deceive themselves because Satan deceives us in thinking if we go any other route than a supernatural miracle that we're inferior Christians. Now, nothing could be farther from the truth. You have to go with what deep in your heart, and only you know that. Nobody but the individual knows what they actually believe. Now, I can tell you from experience, there was a time that, they told Sherry they didn't know if I'd live or die. But here was the thing. I lived. And someone came in the room at the hospital and asked me how that was going to affect my teaching on healing. I said, it's not going to affect my teaching on healing at all, because healing's not based on my experience. It's based on the integrity of the Word of God. I said, you go tell people that Pete didn't have faith. And I'm going to admit that. I'm going to admit that. I didn't have the faith to be healed supernaturally, so what did I do? I went a different route. It sure does beat dying. Right? So don't get into condemnation. But then we keep searching to know more about God, to know more about God, to know more about God. And to enter into that. And honestly, Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing God speak. So if I have not heard God speak, the truth is, I don't have faith. I have hope. I can wish. I can pray. But have I heard God speak? What I didn't tell you about my dad the second time he went into the hospital, when they called me, as soon as I hung the phone up, the Spirit of God said he'll die and not live. Now I can't pray. And they were expecting me to do the same thing I did before. You know what where my faith is? He's going to die. And I went that route with Mom. I'm not going to give her false hope. She said, what do you think? I said, I think you need to do this, this, and this. I can't do that. I said, you better do that. And she did. It took her a few hours to come to grips with it, but thank God she did, because it saved her some heartache. Okay? You can't go beyond what you hear. So I could go in there and command every devil in the world and pray till I'm blue in the face. He's going to die. God said so. So be cautious how you approach people, and be sure you hear, just listen for God. And if I go visit someone in a hospital room, I'm probing. I'm asking the Lord. What do I do? And a lot of times, I'm going to tell you what, if I went in there with faith, they would have destroyed it. By the time they get through telling me how bad everything is, I wonder if anybody could believe in after that. You know, I mean, if you just locked in on you, you have to lock in on God. So you guide people the best you can. And then respect where they are If you can't do what all you want to do, do what you can do and go from there. Just don't violate them, okay? Just use wisdom and consideration when you make these hospital visits. And you're there as a representative of God. These things have been reduced to just my notepad. Let's say I've got to go to room such and 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 such. I have this member, this member, this member, this. It's just making rounds. No, we need to go there carrying God to where at least people have an opportunity. It's up to them what they do with the opportunity. And I'm amazed, really, at how little people really reach out for God. You find out. And I guess it's because of bad teaching and just not being subjected to how good God is and how powerful God is. But you still have to honor where that person is. And you can pray for them. I mean, I've gotten the car and prayed intensely for people that I didn't pray for in the room. And all I'm doing is interceding because I couldn't do anything there. It's not that you just write them off, okay? And so we have to be courteous to everybody and honor visiting hours. And I've seen this, especially, they're much more lenient with it than they used to be with ICU. You know, it used to be like a 15-minute thing. And then staff is usually very cordial to ministry in most cases, and will sort of bend things and let you in, but don't abuse that. For goodness sakes, don't abuse that. Respect it, thank them, and they're lenient, but don't take advantage of it. Okay? And when there's limited visitation privileges given, like in an ICU setting, for instance, prefer the family members. Let the family members spend the time with the person. I found out that I could do a lot on my knees without anybody knowing it. And I'll just be fair with you, that's where I prefer to pray. Then I'm not inhibited by people around me. I can throw caution to the wind and say what I need to say. Okay? And so always remember that. And I'm not telling you never pray for anybody. I'm just saying don't let that make you think you can't be effective. Ministers should never violate patient-doctor consultation. A practice, and I think it's a wise practice, if a doctor enters a room to talk to the patient, I excuse myself. And unless that doctor or family or whatever says, you know, to stay, then I feel like that's a private thing. But sometimes, I've had the doctors just like, no, sit down. It's unusual, but I have had that to happen before. And then another area is there's usually designated parking for ministers. Boy, does that get abused. When you're there on ministerial duties, then that's fine. But when you're not, park somewhere else. I don't know, maybe these are just personal convictions I have, but to me it's just ethics. So if I'm just going over there to visit somebody, I don't park in minister parking. Actually, it'd be a rare thing for me to park in minister parking. I just don't do that. Thank God I have help I can walk. So, leave it for somebody else. consideration has to be exercised when you park in the designated areas. There are more ministers than you. Okay? And usually, there's not that many spaces. So just take those things in consideration. Thank God that you have legs in them all, you know? Sometimes Sarah says something to me. I go to Walmart or something. And she said, "What? The park's so far away." I said, "It's good exercise." I'm not going to sit there and circle that lot for 15 or 20 minutes trying to find and congest traffic trying to get close to the door. No, we won't go there. You understand where we're coming from with all that, right? It's a matter of being considerate to other people. And really, this is what this conduct and ethics class is all about. It's just, to me, it should be common sense. But we're in a society today that common sense is out of the ordinary. So somebody has to set an example. Guess who that is? The body of Christ should be setting the example. So who is that? That's you, that's me. So we need to be leading people to where if they follow us, they're going to do the right thing. Right? And so we exercise good ethics. Don't we? Well, we've got another area there. I don't know if I want to get into... I think I'm going to wait on this, but I want to talk to you about social ethics, which includes the home, community, business, church, activities. A minister is always a minister. That's just the way it is. Back a few years ago, it was during the summertime, and actually as many years ago, because I wasn't pastoring at the time, I don't think. Nevertheless, I was working on something outside at the house, and I was actually welding some stuff, and this guy. These two guys came up, you know, in the driveway, and one of the guys said, "I brought him here because I want you to pray for him." Anybody in here welding? It's pretty nasty when you're stick welding, okay, and you're welding with rusted material and stuff like that. My hands were filthy. You understand? This guy had on a white T-shirt that was white. And I almost got irritated about the thing. And I had to take control of myself. I said, "Do you see my hands? You want me to lay hands on you?" Normally I would lay my hands on her head, but I didn't want to. So I laid my hands on his T-shirt. And I left my handprints. But I'm going to tell you what, the power of God hit that guy and he fell out right there in my driveway. In front of everybody. You understand? You're always a minister. It doesn't matter if you're welding, if you're in the pulpit, you're a minister. Okay? And so you always have to remember that. But that doesn't mean that I should run around filthy dirty all the time and things like that. And I have some very strong convictions about things like that, you know, because I believe as a representative of God that we should present God well. But they brought him to me, and so just as I am without one plea, right? And so we minister to the person. But I'm going to tell you, the Lord showed me something in all that. You know, Now, I've heard you talk about this, you know, with the dream you had about the pride type thing and all that. Basically, that's the Lord was dealing with me about that. It's not how you look. It's what's in you. It's how I look. Don't cover me up. Let me out. Okay? And so you're always representing God wherever you are. It's amazing. I've done some counseling in Walmart. I mean, I'm there to buy something, and somebody, they see you, and then 30 minutes later, you're still there. I've had shirts, so I'm gonna go and check out. What do? Listen, they need to talk then. Don't say, see me tomorrow. You're available. Jesus was available. Jesus was touchable. Is it about you? Is it about them? Who's more important, them or me? And see, that's what it's all about. Whether you're shopping or whether you're working, can you not stop long enough to let God speak to someone or minister to someone through you? If you can't, you have a problem. And so these are things God has dealt with me about along the way. You understand? Here again, it should be common sense that this person's reaching out. Don't shut them off. Don't shut them off. They need to talk. I've prayed with I went up to the post office. That hadn't been that long ago. I went in there. Before you go to the post office, well, I went up there to check the P.O. box, okay? I went up there to get the mail. So I get the mail, and I start out, and I see somebody, and I knew them, and I spoke to them. They said, I want you to lay hands on me and pray for me. And I said, okay. In the post office. That's a federal building. You can pray in a federal building. So you lay hands on them and you pray for them. And this person got a little bit excited. Yeah, so people look. What's the big deal? Are you that important? Does God embarrass you? Think about it. No. God wants to minister in the post office, Walmart, the church, the school, wherever you are. Make yourself available, but don't violate people in the process. If they come to you, don't turn them away, regardless of the setting. Okay? All right? Well, you can stop recording any time.